This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 29 March 2019. Well, as you look at our YouTube channel, The Morgan Report, let's just go over the stock market to begin with and let everyone know the stock markets are ending the week on a firm note. All three major indexes have kept their 2019 uptrends intact. Transportations are making another run at the 200-day moving average, and a couple of the better-known items companies in the transportation are doing quite well, UPS being one of them. So there's that. Stock market up and down and all around, but overall is still showing some strength. Moving on from the U.S. stock markets that are holding up and actually looking fairly good, moving over to Bloomberg and a more global picture. World of negative debt expands to one-fifth of global market. Financial repression is alive and well after a decade of monetary stimulus. Investors shopping for investment-grade debt around the world are being greeted by below zero yields in almost one-fifth of the market. This is unprecedented, folks. I mean, to think that you should put your money to work and get guaranteed a return of that's negative is just unheard of. It's never been, it's never taken place before us, at least not in recorded monetary history. That being said, the article continues, the highest proportion in 16 months, according to data compiled by Bloomberg, in the wake of an unexpectedly ultra-dovish shift by the Federal Reserve and weak European data, many investors are reassessing the outlook for growth. And this article's just hinted at, you know, the Fed's basically throwing in the towel. We're not going to do any interest rates increases for the rest of the year. You might see one in 2020. And they don't really have room to cut. I mean, interest rates have not been increased enough for them to cut down interest rates enough to make a difference in the economy. But we can expect more QE ahead. It's kind of a mess. I do think we're going to see repercussions. I know we're going to see repercussions. Timing is critical for everyone, and that's the hardest thing to do. Going to go really not off base because I cover the global economy, but this is sort of in honor of Prep Aussie that just did an interview with me. If you're watching the video and not just listening to the podcast, I showed our YouTube channel. We put almost every interview I ever do, unless they're exclusive to the membership, up on our YouTube channel, and that one's no exception. But we talked about a lot of things, and one of them being the Australian housing market. This article is right in line with that, so I'm going to go through it briefly. For years, construction in Australia has been booming, but the good days are well and truly over. Whether it's private houses, dwelling units, renovations, the numbers are all heading south. Buildings approvals have fallen for the past 14 months, dropping around 7% since January of last year and almost 36% from the peak in August of 2017. I'll leave the rest of the article for you. I'm sure if you are in Australia, you're probably well aware of what's going on. If you're not, you should be. And this article pretty well outlines the entire thing. And on that interview with Prep Aussie, what I thought was interesting was, not knowing this, because I've interviewed with him, I think, three or four times now, was his background from his family. And his dad was in the mining industry and as a coal miner, basically. What level he was an actual miner or had an executive job or somewhere in between, I do not know. It's really irrelevant. The point was that once the bust took place, that was very difficult to find anything in the mining sector. So we went through that and how Australia is so dependent on China for needing raw materials and how, again, as I've said almost every week now for months, the global economy is slowing. And I thought this week I would move back to something I address from time to time, and that's the globe, the plane, moving toward a cashless society. This is from Japan Today, and many of you may not know this. Japan's slowly buying into cashless future despite widespread misgivings. Many may think that Japan is kind of on the cutting edge of tech, and they are in many ways, but on the cashless thing, they're really not. So going forward, Tokyo, every few meters along a shopping street near the iconic Tokyo Sky Tree Tower, signs with the words PayPal used here can be seen promoting the availability of an electronic payment option, something that remains a relative rarity in Japan. Despite its reputation as one of the homes of forward-thinking technology, Japan remains generally reluctant to move into a cashless direction. Tradition, demographics, an awareness of change, meaning people still prefer to reach for notes and coins when checking out. But in a bid to attract more foreigners from countries familiar with paying with credit cards or apps that support cashless transactions, Sumida Ward, the area that hosts Tokyo's most imposing tower and one of the city's most popular tourist destinations, has begun working with the PayPal Corporation. And moving on to energy, it's always a pleasure to post something from my friend Steve St. Angelo of SRS Rocco Report. Next domino to fall, Mexico becomes a net oil importer. While Mexico suffered the bloodiest year of violent deaths in 2018, even bigger trouble may lay ahead for the embattled country. For the first time in more than 50 years, Mexico has become a net importer of oil. This is undoubtedly bad news for the Mexican government, as it has relied upon its oil revenues to fund a large percentage of its public spending. And the majority of these revenues came from just one prolific oil field. After the discovery of the huge Cantarell oil field in the Gulf of Mexico in 1976, Mexico's oil production surged from 894,000 barrels per day to a peak of 3.8 million barrels per day in 2004. That year, Mexico's net oil exports exceeded 1.8 million barrels per day. Unfortunately, the downturn of Mexico's oil production was also due to the peak and decline of the Cantarell oil field, which topped out at 2.1 million barrels in 2004, and now is below 135 million barrels per day. I'll just add on a couple things. I was actually in Mexico, and I forget the exact date, but winter, and it was better than a year ago, but just slightly. And they had increased oil prices, and the locals, the average people out on the street, were not very happy, and there were protests going on, not massive, but it was kind of the talk of the town, so to speak. And it wasn't just that town in Mexico that I happened to be in at the time. It was, you know, nationwide. A lot of their economy depends, as this article says that Steve put out, that a lot of the government spending is dependent upon their oil revenues. And of course, they're dwindling and it will become a net importer. Oil is the key. For those that don't know, I started a new service that deals with energy. And if you're interested in learning more, you can go to comingenergyboom.com. That's one word. The URL is comingenergyboom.com. And finishing up this week, the new Morgan Report is out. It's posted before the due date, which is the first Monday of every month. This is the 29th, as I said, doing this weekly perspective. It's actually up on the 29th. Usually it's over the weekend, 30th or 31st in this case. And we have got a couple of interesting situations. I want to make everyone aware that the miners have actually been doing quite well. Several of our picks are up rather significantly from the beginning of the year. And we continue to work hard to find investments that are very key to your success as far as making money in the sector, the resource sector. And furthermore, we have just finished an update for our paid members on a company that I think is probably one of the best I've seen in over 40 years of being in this resource sector. I don't want to overhype it because I know it's typical of this sector for the gold community at large to be overhyped as far as a discovery or whatever. This is basically a technology that will be instrumental in bettering the planet and making money for those that invest in the company. I will be on the SGT report on the 4th of April, and I don't know exactly how long it takes Sean to post those interviews, usually a day or two, I imagine, and I will be making an offer for a membership discount. So if you're inclined to get on our premium service, I highly recommend you listen to the SGT report after the 4th of April. Again, it'll probably be posted, I'm guessing, the 5th or 6th. I'll make an offer there again for everybody's benefit to save money on the paid premium service and also a bonus on top of that, believe it or not. So I'll stop there. I just want to say a few more words and then we'll close out. And by the way, before I close out totally, I do suggest if you're not on the free Morgan Report, the free one's free. So you go to themorganreport.com and get on our email list. You'll see interviews I do during the week and also this weekly perspective, which is available on our YouTube channel and also by podcast. So this is something that I wanted to close out with this week, and it has to deal with the word anarchy. Think of the word anarchy. The word anarchy will bring up your mind probably to a scene from a fictional movie or a newsreel, which you see hordes of wild and fanatical human beings roaming and running around the streets of the big city, overthrowing the royalists and hauling them off to prison and entering and shattering the royal residence of the emperor or king. So anarchy, politically speaking, means lawlessness. It means having no government at all, but simply violence, crime, chaos, terrorism. There is an interesting enough, and if you think about this afterward, a very opposite definition of anarchy than what I've just given you, in which there is also no government at all, as you usually think of government, and therefore there is complete harmony and peace. Maybe you never thought of anarchy in that sense before, where because the only thing there is self-government, spiritual government, you don't need anything else at all. You don't need legislators. You don't need laws. You don't need rules to live by because you have the one grand final cosmic rule of living in a spiritual world. In other words, natural law. And I'll tag Mark Passio for that. Quite an individual. Anarchy means no government, all right. You have no government at all, except if you want to use the term cosmic government, or again, I'll say natural law. But we're going to talk about this at probably the next Anarchapoco conference that I do. I certainly went outside my normal domain in the last time I was there, just a month ago or so. It's a very inspirational event as far as I'm concerned. Of course, I did the finance I was expected to do. But again, after, let's say, fulfilling my obligation on the first half of my time allotted, I kind of branched out from that perspective and went out into, let's say, deeper territory to get people basically to think and look at the true meaning of what we're here for, why you're here, and what you can do. So not to be too philosophical, but I did want to bring out that definition because most people don't understand that no government can be really, really something a lot different than most people think. Most people are brainwashed into believing that they need to have somebody tell them what to do all the time, where to go, how to do it, yada, yada, yada. And believe me, at my age and all I've seen, witnessed, and experienced, and I'm pretty well traveled, I've seen a lot of things. Less government is the best government, and perhaps no government is the best of all. That's it for this week. I'll be back with you next week with an update on the markets and my own perspective. Hopefully, it'll help see you through the week and help you make better decisions. And final plug here, if you're not on our free list, go to themorganreport.com. We do advertise maybe once or twice a week. You can just bypass those if they annoy you. Most don't. Some are worthwhile. Some more people like them. Some don't. If you're inclined to just get this only and just get these weekly updates and not the other interviews that I do during the week, you can certainly just subscribe to the podcast and just get this, again, weekly perspective. It saves you time. I try to keep these things to 10, 15 minutes at the most. I do them every week, bringing you the financial news that is the most important from my perspective on the global economy. And I always try to end it with something in the precious metal space. Again, wish you the best, and I'll be with you next week.
This is The Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.